Hello, my name is Paul Howard, and I'm a senior fellow and director at the Manhattan Institute's Center for Medical Progress. Today, I'll be talking to noted health economist Frank Lichtenberg, the Courtney C. Brown Professor of Business at the Columbia University Graduate School of Business, as well as a research associate at the National Bureau of Economic Research. Dr. Lichtenberg's work has focused on how new medical technologies affect the productivity of companies, industries, and nations. Dr. Lichtenberg has recently completed a study for the Manhattan Institute entitled Alive and Working, How Access to New Drugs Has Slowed the Growth in America's Disability Rates. Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Lichtenberg.
It's my pleasure, Paul.
Healthcare has been one of the top concerns in the current presidential debate. And obviously, Senators Obama and McCain have very different healthcare reform plans. But they both seem to agree on two things. The first is that the U.S. is the global leader in healthcare innovation, and that we should stay that way. And second, that we're not getting as much value as we should for the amount of money, about $2 trillion, that the U.S. spends on healthcare annually. Could you talk for a moment about why it's important to try and capture the value of innovation in healthcare markets and what might be the right way to measure that value?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I think that there's an asymmetry when we look at the costs versus the benefits of innovation. The costs of using medical innovations like new drugs, new procedures, and so forth are quite obvious. They jump out at you from the budget ledger. The benefits, however, of using new medical innovations is often far less obvious and requires careful study and measurement. And I think to have an efficient allocation of healthcare resources, it is important to evaluate the benefits as well as the costs of medical innovations to decide how much and how these innovations should be used.
Is one problem that, in a sense, you may have silos of spending across different programs or different areas, and so a value or benefit from one category of spending might just be seen as a cost, but it might actually turn out to reduce spending elsewhere? Is that one of the challenges?
Yes, I certainly think that's true. I've done several studies which have looked at so-called cost offsets from using, say, newer drugs on other healthcare expenditure like hospital care and nursing home care. But in addition, what this study does is to examine the impact of using medical innovations on disability. The government does pay a significant amount for disabled people, and that has been growing rapidly.
That's right. This study looks at disability rates in the U.S. and the potential effects of newer medicines on the growth or the rate of growth in those rates. What is the trend in disability in general, and why have you chosen to look at prescription drugs as opposed to, say, medical devices or surgeries?
Well, the trend in disability is a very large increase. We've seen about a 30% increase in the percent of working-age Americans who are receiving government disability benefits in about the last decade. So there's been a very significant increase, and this is costing the government a lot of money. I look specifically at the impact of prescription drugs, I would say, for two main reasons. First, I would say prescription drugs are the most widely used medical innovation. More people use drugs in a given year than, for example, have advanced medical procedures in a hospital, so that these are, in a sense, much more widely diffused. A second reason is a practical one, and that is that the data on prescription drug use are far better than data on use of other medical innovations. And so it's really, to some extent, for practical reasons that I focus on prescription drugs.
And your study finds that by measuring drug vintage in a given state over the time period that your study looks at from 1995 to 2004, and defining vintage as the year that a drug's active ingredient was first approved by the FDA, states that had greater gains in average drug vintage, in other words, were using more newer drugs at the end of the time period you're studying in 2004 as opposed to 1995 versus states that had smaller gains in drug vintage or smaller increases in drug vintage had smaller increases in disability. So to sum it up in a nutshell, states that had higher drug vintages had smaller increases in disability. Could you talk for a minute about what kind of effects might be happening that would explain that smaller increase in disability that could be linked to drug vintage?
That is, why is it that some states are adopting new drugs more rapidly than others?
Well, that, and also, what kind of effects would you expect newer drug vintage to be having at, the, say, the level of chronic disease or disability that might explain that smaller increase?
Well, I think there is an existing body of evidence that suggests that medical innovation in general has resulted in improvements in functional status and reductions in disability. So there are a number of studies by previous authors, and I've done some work along those lines myself. And so I don't think that most people would find it surprising that that advances in medical technology actually reduce the burden of chronic disease and enable people to live fuller, more productive lives. What I try to do is to measure that by using this construct, the vintage of drugs. In other words, imagine that I opened your medicine cabinet and I saw what drugs you were taking. Are you taking drugs from the 1990s, from the 1970s, or from the 1950s? The hypothesis is that people who are consuming newer drugs to treat their often chronic conditions will generally manage those conditions and have less disability associated with them better than people taking older drugs. So that is the general hypothesis.
That there's knowledge or innovation that's embodied in that newer medicine, the newer understanding of disease or better ways of delivering a drug that might be embodied in a newer product as opposed to an older product that might make it more effective.
Absolutely. One reason is that we know that many new drugs, for example, embody basic scientific advances which may have been sponsored partly by the National Institutes of Health as well as by private industry. And so these medical advances do, in a sense, embody advances in science.
And the question of how we measure the costs and benefits of medical innovation is becoming ever more important to policymakers at the federal and state level who are struggling with very, very tight budgets, particularly in healthcare programs. Is there a formula, an approach that balances the need to encourage medical innovation for the reasons you just explained, while also ensuring that we're paying for those medical technologies, whether they be new or old, that offer, for lack of a better phrase, most bang for the buck?
Well, I think it is important to evaluate medical innovation both at a general aggregate level and also on a case-by-case basis. What this study does is look at it from 30,000 feet and say, overall, how much has pharmaceutical innovation, that is the use of newer drugs, how much has that reduced the growth in disability in the United States? However, policymakers, even if in general, use of medical innovations reduces disability, not all medical innovations will do that, and some may do it more than others. And so policymakers do need to evaluate innovations on a case-by-case basis.
Which is obviously a very challenging and highly charged topic. But Dr. Lichtenberg, thank you for joining us today. Listeners who would like to read the full report can find it on the web at www.manhattan-institute.org.